So if you don't see them, pray for their safety. And then we do have several sick and have some appointments tomorrow. So let's pray for them. And, of course, pray for Brother Marvin. And but we'll just have a good time with who's here. And, again, we don't want to obviously forget them and pray for them. But we don't want to, you know, they always say preaching to the choir. You know, you always say, bless God, you ought to be here every time the door. And you're talking to the people that are here. So, you know, I don't want to do that. So, but anyway. But today we're going to preach a sermon. It's called, Which is Greater? Which is Greater? And, of course, some of you, it's been a while since you've been in school. But you remember the greater than and less than sign. And there were little things to remember, you know, like if the mouth was open and it was eating, that was greater, you know, and back there it was less than, and whichever way it was pointing. So you had different ways to remember greater than and less than. So we're going to do that today. We're going to preach a sermon, Which is Greater? And it will be obvious which way that mouth is pointing today when I'm preaching. But then there's other things that, you know, we might have participated in as we were growing up. You know, I know you probably had the which superhero was greater competition. You know, was Superman better than Batman or Aquaman? I mean, there's all kinds of, and then you got to throw Wonder Woman in there. You know, she always got my vote when I was a kid, and you know, the greatest superhero and things like that. But anyway, you have that argument, and then there's lifelong arguments on the greater than, or the they call them the GOAT these days, the greatest of all time. You know, and I guess Tom Brady is probably considered the greatest of all time, the GOAT in NFL. You know, there's arguments out there that as far as the NBA. In my book, there's not. Michael Jordan got that. But anyway, the GOAT, greater than or less than. And then there's you know, even the dream team, the greatest dream team, which gold medal team was better. This gold medal team could beat this year's gold medal team and all that kind of stuff. You have those competitions, greater than. And then I'll say this before I get involved in my sermon. A lot of times, you know, maybe you get some news, and it's maybe devastating. It's a setback. It's kind of like when we found out that we were a sinner, and that because of our sins, we were going to hell. Look, I mean, whoa, time out. You know, I didn't sign up for that, and so forth. But then you had some news. But Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He came down to the earth, lived 33 and a half years of a perfect life, died on the cross, shed His blood. God accepted His blood as a payment for your sins. So even though you are a sinner and there is a place called hell, you can not go there. So they kind of, you know, gave you the good news, bad news type thing. You know, kind of like, you know, there's people obviously in the military or any other kind of accident, you know, you're going to lose your leg or you lost your leg or things like that. But then they might say, well, but there's you know, devices that you can put on there, and you know, you can run faster than you used to be able to, and you know, there's a prosthetic and things like that's going to help you live life. And so they give you the bad news, and then they give you the good news. Now, obviously, I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell, but Jesus died for you. There's no comparison to that one. Obviously, you know, I would probably prefer to still have my leg than to have a prosthetic, but you know, that would be better than not having one. Amen. So it's kind of like a mindset. But we see here today we're going to talk about that there's an enemy that we have that's going to do everything. And if you were in Sunday school this morning, you saw that personal responsibility. We like to play the blame game. The devil made me do it. You know, Adam, you know, when Eve brought the fruit to him and said, you know, eat this. It's good. It'll make us like God. And, you know, he ate it, and God came, and they were hiding themselves. You know, God, we were scared. We were naked, and we were just nervous. How did you know? Did you eat that fruit? And you know what Adam did? The woman thou hast given me. All right? He did the blame game and so forth. But we're individually responsible for our own sin and so forth. So we're going to have a battle that we're talking about today. And but I'm going to say, yes, we have to face this battle. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And that's what the verse 4:4 says. 1 John 4:4. It says, ye are of God, little children. So you're saved. You're a born-again Christian. You're on your way to heaven. You're a child of God. And then it says, and have overcome. So you were on your way to hell. But when you accepted Jesus Christ's payment on the cross, you overcame that. You don't have to go there anymore. Now, he's going to do his dead level best to mess your life up. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. God didn't say, okay, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, life is going to be perfect, you're never going to be sick, you're never going to have a problem, everything is going to be smooth sailing from here. I didn't read that in my Bible. Why? Because the devil's going to make sure that doesn't happen. But it says right here, you are little children, and you have overcome. And here it is. Because greater is He that is in you. And if that's where it stopped, it would be wonderful. It would be smooth sailing. We wouldn't have a problem. But it says, greater is He that is in you than, and here it is, he that is in the world. So there's still two. There's heaven, there's hell. Right? There's the Holy Spirit, and there's the spirit of Antichrist. And we're going to have to, we're right caught in the middle of those two battles till we see Jesus. But greater is He that's in you. I wish I could say you're not going to have a battle. You're not going to have temptation. You're not going to make mistakes. Everything's going to be perfect because you're saved now. I wish I could say that, but I can't. But now I'm going to try to flip around there and say, okay, but there's a prosthetic. Or there's a way around this, or there's a way through this, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But there is somebody out in there. And so we're going to look at these two individuals by way of introduction. First of all, we're going to look at Satan. He that's in the world is talking about Satan. He that is in you is talking about the Holy Spirit. And those two are going to battle on you all the time. We're going to look at Satan real quick. I'll read these verses to you. You don't have to turn there. But 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, and whom the God, with a small g, in whom the God of this world, that's talking about Satan, small g, not a big g, so it's not talking about God, but it's talking about the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whom is the image of God, with a big g, should shine unto them. So obviously we see here the God of this world. God allowed Satan, when He kicked him out of heaven, He allowed him to be the God of this world. And that philosophy of the world is with him, and that fleshly desire that we have is with him. He's in control of that. He's got, the Bible says he can go to and fro throughout this earth, seeking whom he may devour. And what is he trying to do? Blind the minds so that people don't get saved. And maybe you battled this when you first started hearing about salvation. God loves you and God made it possible for you to go to heaven. Well, I don't know. Why? Satan was trying to blind your mind. And then we'll read another verse or a couple verses. Matthew 4:8-10. We're talking about Satan right here. 1 Corinthians 4:4 has called him the God of this world. Matthew 4:8-10 says this, again, the devil. So this is another name. God of this world is Satan. The devil is Satan. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Why? Because he was the God of the world. God allowed him to do that. And it says here, and the glory of them. And of course, this is basically in context. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, hungry. He had told him to turn the rocks into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he answered with him with the Bible. And he said, okay, that's true. But then the Bible says that, you know, God's not going to allow you to, you know, stub your toe, basically. So throw yourself off this pinnacle, and He'll send angels to come down and swoop you up. But then Jesus answered him with the Word of God again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then now here's the third temptation. Jesus is saying, okay, don't you want to set your kingdom up here, in the kingdom of God? Isn't that why you came? Well, yeah. Well, if you'll just bow down to me, I'm giving you a shortcut. And shortcuts usually don't work very good. Anyway, it says here, if you'll just bow down to me and worship me, I'll give you the world now. Verse 9, it says here, and thus saith unto him all these things which I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. So get out of my face. Get behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we see here that Jesus even had the battling. And so if Jesus had to battle him, we're definitely going to have to battle him. And so I'm going to tell you that we've got a battle. Oh, man. You know, there is a hell because of your sin. But there's a way to heaven. You're going to have a battle for the rest of your Christian life. Oh, man. But greater is He that's in you than he that is in this world. We've got an advocate. We've got a savior. We've got a helper. We've got a comforter. We have all that. But we just got to use them. Or the devil's going to blind our minds too. Can't get us unsaved if we're saved. But he can mess us up in our Christian life. So this battle between God and Satan is for real. Those of us that are saved, there was a battle for our soul. Satan did everything he could to keep us from getting saved. But if we're saved, God won that battle. But then he doesn't quit. He's still the God of this world. He's coming after your life. He can't get your soul and take you to hell anymore, but he can mess your life up. There's people out there today that saved that they're not in church. Why? Because the devil's blinded their minds. He's winning. They're gonna have defeat. They're gonna have trouble, more trouble than they would. Why? Because the devil's got their life. He's looking for their service. We're supposed to serve. We're supposed to worship, the Bible says. But God, the devil is after our service, our worship. He's after our minds. That's why the Bible says, bring into captivity every thought. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the devil is after your mind to get you to think. It's going to be a battle. So God gives us a choice, and we can pick the winner or the loser. And you know, you listen to sports radio, or I do, and they're talking about more than sports really much these days. They talk about gambling. What's the spread? Peanut butter, jelly. I don't know all that stuff. Well, I'm giving this and I'm giving that, and I'm going to take. There's a gamble, 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 gamble. That's what they're talking about. But we see that, you know, we can pick the winner, because greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. So we have, it's not a hard choice. Pick God and His Holy Spirit over the spirit of Antichrist. Definitely going to win. There's no gamble to it. Just pick Him. That's what we have to do. So I want to be on the winning team. I don't remember ever not being wanting to be on the winning team. You know, we go outside for kickball in kindergarten. All right? And okay, you're going to be captain, you're going to be captain. I wasn't picking all the slow people. I wasn't picking all the, you know, not so athletic people. You know, well, you might hurt their feelings. Well, I'm sorry. I wanted to win. You know, I mean, that's your sister. Sorry. She's slow and she can't kick very good. She's on the other team. that was just in me. I don't know about you or not. But so when I'm faced with winning team, losing team. Not even a choice. I'm not even going to spend a minute on it. Winning team. I want to be on God's team. So Satan, who is greater today? Satan or the God of this world? So we saw that Satan's going to try to blind our minds. Satan's going to try to trip us up with temptation and worldly thoughts, things like that. But now let's look at the other side by way of introduction. Let's look at God. Which is greater? The God of this world or God? I'm going to look at a few verses where it says this. Exodus 18:11. Who's greater, Satan or God? Exodus 18:11 says this. Now I know that the Lord, here it is. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, small g. The Bible says right here that God is greater than all gods, the God of this world included. For in the thing wherein I dwelt, proudly He was above them. So Exodus, Moses was writing here under the inspiration of God, hey, if you're making the choice, which one's greater here? Greater than, less than? If you're trying to decide, the God of this world is going to try to blind your mind and corrupt you and mess you up, where you're punished by God. But God, He's greater than all gods, small g. Now, you can just try to think of some others. There's some people out there that believe in Allah. But I'm sorry, and you know, all those other gods out there, they're still in their grave, where ours isn't. Again, not to demean her in any way. She was picked by God to be Jesus' mom. But Mary's not a god. Okay? God is greater than Mary. God is greater than Allah. He's greater than Mary. He's greater than Satan, the God of this world. Here's one, the God of our mind. The Bible says there's no God out there. I'm in charge.
I make all the decisions. So we basically make our mind God. So God is greater than the mind, ourself. There's some people out there that worship nature. They call it the sun god or the wind god. God's greater than all that. He's the one that created that. Here's another one. The God of works. There's the people out there that serve their works. Their baptism is a work. Their service is a work. But God is greater than all that. So the Bible says, hey, who's greater? Now, I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. So He's greater than any god. Secondly, Job 33:12. Listen to what Job 33:12 says. Behold, in this thou art not just. Behold, in this thou art not just. In other words, Job is saying, hey, fellas, you're not right here. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. And of course, we know Job was a great man. He was rich. He had lots of kids. He had lots of things. He had lots of possessions. He had wisdom. And of course, God allowed Satan to take all that from him. But the Bible says, in that, Job sinned not. Now, he asked God some questions, like, why did this happen? Why did this happen? But he didn't blame God. And his friends came and said, Job, you must be in some type of sin. You must be involved in some type of immorality. You must be involved in some type of devil worship and things like that. Because God is punishing you. And he said, you know, you can say all you want to, but God is greater than man. God is greater than man. So who's greater, Satan or God? The Bible says God's greater than any other god, small g. The Bible says God's better than man. I mean, there's some good men that have done great things throughout history. But none of them can scratch the surface of God. Matthew 12:6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst. So God's here today. But it says this, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater, here it is, than the temple. Now back in the Bible day, they had the tabernacle, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, putting that thing up, putting the altars and all that stuff up and down, up and down. And I mean, some people probably didn't like the word temple. They got backaches when they heard the word temple. And they got the heebie-jeebies when they heard the word temple or tabernacle. So they were liking Solomon's temple and permanent things. We don't have to take it up and down. It's just there. And then even from that day to day, there's people that give a building or a facility or an establishment more power than God. But God's saying, there's no temple. There's no church building. There's no facilities that's greater than God. The way I look at this building, it's sanctified. What does that mean? It's set apart for this use right here. For us to come in here and pray to Him, come in here to sing to Him, come in here to preach about Him. We're not going to rent this out for, you know, shindigs and hoedowns and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because it's separated. It's sanctified. It's for that use. But this building is not greater than God. And the Bible says God is greater. So we're talking about who's greater, Satan or God. God is greater than any other god, small g. He's greater than any man. He's greater than any church or facility. Here's another one. Matthew 12:41. Matthew 12:41. We're just talking about the Bible this morning. What the Bible says. The Bible says, and here it says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Right? You know the story. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't want to go over there. And he's looking around. Oh, here's a boat. I got enough money to buy this ticket. I'm going to buy this ticket and I'm going to go. And you know the story. The storm came and they cast lots. And Jonah's like, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord. They pitched him overboard, but God prepared a whale, great fish, swallowed him up. And he was in there. Then he caused the fish to get an upset stomach. And bleh, him up on the shore, and he said, the Bible says he took a 3-day journey in one day. He got there. He probably had seaweed stuck in his hair. He was probably white with all that gas that was in that belt. And he get over there and he says, repent. And again, he wasn't the greatest. That sermon wasn't the greatest.
God was the greatest. God is the one that saved those people. But a lot of people maybe gave Jonah credit. Man, if it wasn't for Jonah, man, we'd all be still dying and going to hell. And again, I hope God uses my sermons to get people saved. I hope God allows me to lead people individually to get saved. But just like Jonah would have said, hey, don't give me any credit. Dummy me was running. Dummy me got put in that belly of that fish. And then I had to come up through the exit chute. And I got over here and I just said what God wanted to say. But if anything happened to you, it wasn't me. He's greater. And that's what it says right here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment, and with this generation shall commend it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And here it goes. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. God is greater than any preacher that we can see in that Bible. Great men of God, used in a great and mighty way. But if it wasn't for God, they'd be nothing. Continue reading in Matthew 12, verse 41. It says here, and the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, and she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She would have stand up and said, Solomon's unbelievable. He's so smart. There was this time where these two ladies were arguing over this kid, and Solomon said, hey, hand me that baby. Hand me that sword. I'll just cut it in half. You can have one half, you can have the other half. Whoa, time out. She can have it. And Solomon goes, that's the real mom. Because the real mom would say, I'll give up having that kid to save that kid alive. Wow. Solomon's pretty smart. And we could go on and on and on about Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba said, man, I traveled for a long ways just to hear his wisdom. But Matthew was saying, wait a minute, time out. The wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And just like Jonah would have said, don't put me on the pedestal. You just serve God. Solomon would say the same thing. Hey, don't put me on a pedestal. You just serve God. So who's greater, Satan or God? God's greater than the gods of the world, the men, any of these preachers. Here's another one. John 10:29. My Father which gave thee me is greater than all. So John was saying, he's greater than man. He's greater than any other God you can think of. He's greater than any preacher you can think of. He's greater than any Christian you can think of. He's just greater than them all. And the Bible says that He is in us. And greater is He that's in you than He that's in this world. A couple more about God. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemn us. And you know, the Bible says that our heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. We shouldn't trust it. But then our heart's pretty truthful with us. You know, other people might think, just like Jonah, man, Jonah's awesome. Jonah knew he wasn't. Some people might think, Solomon's awesome. He's a great Christian. Solomon knew he wasn't. And people might think that about us. Oh, they serve God. They've done a great thing for God, things like that. But down deep in our heart, all of us know we're just a wicked, rotten sinner that deserves to be in hell. So John was saying, hey, my heart condemns me. So then sometimes it's hard for us to accept God's forgiveness, because we really know the real us. But what does it say right here? If our heart condemns us, and it will, it says here, listen to this, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. God's saying, hey, your heart condemns you because you know the real you. But I just want to let you know something. I know the real you too. And I love you and I'll forgive you. Because greater is me than I am than even your heart. The Bible says God is greater than our hearts. Last one. 1 John 5:9. This is talking about man's witness. Man's witness.
Obviously, Jonah, he went over there and witnessed, and all those people got right. David preached, and a lot of people got right. Peter preached, and thousands got right, and got saved, and got baptized. So all these sermons that we hear, and people that are good soul winners, and they can share the gospel. That is great. That is awesome. And that's God's plan, and we should do that. But we ought not ever take credit for it. I just got a way with words, or I just got a way with people. No. God's greater than our ways and our witness. 1 John 5:9 says this, if we receive the witness of men, which is a good thing, that's God's plan. But it says here, the witness of God is greater. And I remember the person that was giving me the gospel the first time. Yeah, I was enthralled at what she was saying. And how she was even saying it. But then somebody greater showed up and said, I'll save you. So we see here, who's greater, Satan or the God of heaven? And I've showed you verse after verse after verse. He's greater than all the gods. He's greater than any man. He's greater than our heart. He's greater than anybody's witness. He's greater. But there is a spiritual war. I'm going to read you a couple verses and we'll get into the outline. There's a spiritual war. We got the God of this world. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. So there are two people. There's God and Satan. They're going to battle for your soul. They're going to battle for your life. They're going to battle for your service. They're going to battle for your worship. And you've got to choose to be on the winning side because there's a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I wish I could tell you there's not a battle, but there is. But I can tell you, just like there's a hell, but there's a heaven. There's a battle, but greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. 1 John 4:3. You got it open right there. You can look at it. 1 John 4:3, it says here, and every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. There's some spirits out there that will say, Jesus was just a prophet. He was just like anybody else in the Bible. He's not God in the flesh. There's people and there's spirits that would say that. It says it right here. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And here it is. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, obviously, we know there's going to be a specific Antichrist that comes. But this spirit of Antichrist, what the devil would want to say to you, says here, whereof ye have heard that should come even now, already it is in this world. So, we have the spirit of Antichrist. We wrestle not against that flesh and blood. 1 John 4:1. You can see the first verse there. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are God or of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world. Obviously, the devil is in this world. He's the god of this world. But there's false prophets out there that are preaching what the Bible says. If he preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. There's false prophets out there that preach other things. And so we've got to listen to the spirits, try the spirits, weigh the spirits, see if they're of God or not. So, who's greater? Number one, who is he that is in this world? Is he greater or is God greater? The spirit that's the Antichrist, they do these things. I'll give you a list of things that the Antichrist does, the spirit of Antichrist. They despise God and they try to influence others to do the same. Sadly, there's people in this world today that say, I don't believe in God. There is not a God. We know what the Bible says. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. We know that's not right. But there's spirits out there. There's the spirit of Antichrist that would have people to believe, there's no God. You just live, you die, that's it. I don't believe in God. There's no God. And then they'll follow up with stuff like this. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Well, if there's a God, why would He allow... That's what the spirit of Antichrist would say to you. And the devil's slick. Because we think, we have a process, and we hear a statement like that. Well, if there's a God, why would He allow? And you could fill it in with cancer. You could fill it in with retardation. You could fill it. I mean, you could just keep on filling it. And that's what the spirit of Antichrist would say. Well, if there's a God, He wouldn't allow that. So we got to try that. We got to weigh that. And then there's some people out there that, I hate God because this happened and this happened and this happened. That's that spirit of Antichrist. Why? The spirit of Antichrist despises God's name and influences others to do the same. Secondly, he despises God's Word. He despises God's Word. You know, you got things like kryptonite. It's not a real thing, okay? Sorry to bust the bubble. All right? But that's the enemy. That's the only thing that can get him. The Antichrist. The only thing that can get Jesus, or get the Satan, is quoting him the Scripture. Jesus did it. That's the only way. Get the hints. You got to quote him the Scripture. He despises God's Word, and he tries to influence everybody. It says here, they reject what it says, and where it came from, and where we came from. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Sad to say, in most schools these days, kids get taught they came from a tadpole that turned into a frog, that turned into this, that turned into a monkey, that turned into a kid. They reject what this says. That's the spirit of Antichrist. So we got to weigh the spirits. We didn't evolve. God created us. There wasn't a big bang and then there we were here. No, God created us. The devil despises God's Word and influences others to do the same. That spirit of Antichrist. He rejects not only where we come from, but he rejects where we're going. There's not a hell. There's not a heaven. You just live, you just die. And then some people, they added on to that. You live, you die, and you come back as a butterfly or whatever your favorite little animal was, and you float around, hoppity-hip, and all that stuff. They reject what the Bible says, where we came from, where we're going. So it rejects what it says about its authority and its perfection. There's no way that's perfect. You know, they always refer to this, you know, if we started right here with Autumn, and I told Autumn a statement, and she told Claire and Brian, and just went all the way around back there to my wife. Do you think it would be the exact statement that I told Autumn? No. So there's no way that that can be God's Word without any blemishes in it. Yeah, there is. Because God's greater. He's greater than our ears. All right? Because if you were telling me something, my wife was following me through the off door, and I go, Robbie. She finally had to tap me on the shoulder. Huh? I couldn't hear her. I was listening to the piano playing. All right? Brother Derek had already done this. Okay? So it was time to go. All right? But I couldn't hear her. Because there's imperfections. But God has no imperfections. So He kept this Word preserved for us. So we see here that spirit of Antichrist despises God's name, despises God's Word. He despises God's people. Right? Just your presence sometimes just makes people mad. If you're a Christian. You know? It don't happen often. But we were out, not this Saturday, but last Saturday. And out of probably, I don't know how many doors we knocked on, only one. The dude opened the door and said, "Not interested." I said, "Okay, can you read this for me?" "Nope, Methodist." "Okay, have a good day." All right. What? I don't know why he was mad at me. All right. So anyway, but he hates God's people, and he wants to influence others to do the same. They'll say, "You think you're better than everybody else?" "No, I actually think I'm worse than anybody else. All right? I'm just saved, I'm going to heaven." That's what they... "You think..." That's the spirit of Antichrist. "You think you know better than anybody else. You think you're... You know, you got it all figured out." Anyway, he also... Not only does he despise these things, God's name and God's Word and God's people, he also delights in worldliness. And he influences others to do the same. The spirit of Antichrist is in the Bible. This statement, "Eat, drink, and be merry." And it happens several places up through there. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's your life. Do with it what you want. You only live once. Or as they used to say, YOLO. Right? Do what you want to do. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Because God doesn't tell us to do that.
God says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Okay? You only live once, but there's the judgment. So we see that's what God would say. The spirit of Antichrist would say the other. So God says, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And matter of fact, you're actually an enemy of God. This is what God says. So we see that spirit of Antichrist tells us to do that. He also says, delight in sin. Or make fun of sin. Make light of sin. Oh, it's not that big a deal. The Bible says a fool makes a mock at sin. It is a big deal how you live your life. Everybody just needs to relax, dude. Take a chill pill. Dude. We're supposed to bring into captivity every thought. We're supposed to be obedient. So greater is He that's in you. So the spirit that is in this world, that is the spirit of Antichrist, is He greater? Because He's out there. Or number two, He that is in us. He that is in the world greatest, or He that is in us? Look at verses 12 and 13 of John chapter, or 1 John 4. Verses 12 and 13, it says this, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, He dwelleth in us. And His love is perfected in us. That's why the Bible tells us that the church, Christians, ought to be of one mind and one accord. Get along in unity, the Bible says. That's proof that God's in us. And greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. But if it's the opposite, yang, 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 backbiting, gossiping, fault-finding, and nose-poking, all that kind of stuff, just that spirit, that's the spirit of Antichrist. But this says here that God, He dwells in you if we're all getting along. Verse 13, hereby know we that dwell in Him, and Him in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And that's a capital S, the Holy Spirit. This is why. Greater is He that's in you. So God gives us this. So we saw what Satan does. He despised God. He despised God's Word. He despised God's people. He delights in worldliness. But what does God do? God says, hey, I've given you My Spirit. Here's a couple of verses that show what comes along with that. A, it says here, God gives us a spirit of wisdom. Sometimes I've done something and my parents or a teacher or some mentor would make this statement. Well, that was dumb. Were you even thinking? Did you think that through? That was dumb. So that's that spirit of Antichrist. Doing something that's dumb. Doing something that's hurtful. Doing something that's harmful. Doing something that's not right. But God says, I give you the spirit of wisdom. Exodus 28:3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. So obviously when we have that Spirit that God's given us, we will do the wise thing. We will make the wise choice. We will participate in the wise activity. And nobody will ever have to say, well, that was dumb. No, why? Because God directs us. He gives us a Spirit of wisdom. Isaiah 11:2 says this, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. When God gives us the Spirit and we're full of the Spirit, that's what we'll do. We'll be wise. We'll have understanding. We will follow counsel, whether it be the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, or what we've heard taught. And we'll be strong in that. We'll have knowledge and we'll fear the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. So a lot of times when we first start reading that Bible, we're like, I don't understand that. But the closer we get to God, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit's our teacher, He will give us that understanding. He will give us that knowledge. So God gives us the spirit of wisdom. Next, He gives us the spirit of truth. John 14:17. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeketh Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and He shall be in you. So God gives us that spirit of truth. Not anti-Christ, not anti-God, but truth. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, when I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father and shall testify of me. So God, when we're listening to Him, we get that Spirit of wisdom. It'll be the wise thing to do. We'll get that Spirit of truth. It'll always be the right thing to do. John 16:13. How be it? Who He, the Spirit of truth, is come, will guide you into all truth. For He shall speak of Himself, or not of Himself, but whosoever He shall hear, He shall speak, and He will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit's going to speak of God. He's going to speak of Jesus. He's going to speak of that Bible. He's not even going to speak of Himself. The last one, 1 John 4:6. You got it open there. You can look at verse 6. For we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we that the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. So if we're letting God dwell in us and we're listening to Him, we're trying those spirits. The Bible says right here, God will give you the truth. He'll give you the truth, not error. He's not going to give you those things that are against God and against the Bible and against Christianity. He's going to give you the truth. So both spirits will speak to you. That spirit of Antichrist, guaranteed, He's going to give you a thought. He's going to give you a way. He's going to give you a temptation. He's going to give you a discouragement. So it's coming. I promise you. But so will the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, God's Spirit. You got to try them. Which one's speaking of God? Pick that one. Which one's speaking of the Bible? Pick that one. Which one's speaking against the world and against the flesh and against the devil? Don't pick that one. It'll be that obvious. Which is greater? He that is in this world or he that's in you? God says, I'll give you the spirit of wisdom. I'll give you the spirit of truth. Here's another one. God says, I'll give you the spirit of power. Power. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So they're both going to teach you. They're going to call out to you. But He's going to give you that spirit of power. Another one, it says here, God's going to give us the spirit of holiness. The spirit of holiness. You know, the Antichrist is going to give you that spirit of dirty. When you think that thought, you feel dirty. When you go to that place, you feel dirty. You participate in that conversation, you feel dirty. What you're doing, you're listening to the Antichrist. Antichrist spirit. Doing all those things. But when you think what sort of things are just, what sort of things are good, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things of a good report, think on these things. When you do that, you're going to feel clean. You're going to feel like you're right. So we see here, which one's greater? God says, I give you the spirit of holiness, Romans 1:4, and declare to the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Which is greater, he that is in this world or he that is in you? My third point, and then I'll give you my conclusion. The third point is this. It should be God. It should be God. Which is greater? Which way is your greater sign going? Towards God and His Spirit? Or towards the devil and his Antichrist spirit? Which way? Which is greater? It's up to you. It should be God, because the Bible teaches, and I'm just going to give you some statements, light is greater than darkness. That dark can be dark as you want to, and boop, you can turn on the flashlight and you can see. Why? Because light's greater than darkness. It can be dark as like crazy, and you turn on the light switch, you can see. Light's greater than darkness. We know He's God of light. He's Satan of darkness. Truth is greater than error. Truth is greater than error. The King is greater than the subject. Jesus is the King. The devil's got to be in subjection. The Creator is greater than the creation. God created Satan. He just turned against Him. And God is greater than Satan. Which is greater in you? Last thing, conclusion. I'm going to read you one verse. Mark 3:27. Mark 3:27. God is greater than Satan.
But the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded their eyes, but He also wants to bind you. The Bible says in Isaiah that God can be limited, but He has to be bound. The New Testament's full of verses that says, quench not the Spirit. In other words, don't bind the Spirit. Mark 3:27 says this, no man can enter to a strong man's house and spoil his good except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. I don't consider myself strong, but I got some friends at my house. Mr. Smith, Mr. Wesson, Mr. Browning, Mr. Beretta, I can't remember all of them, Mr. Winchester. All right, so if somebody wants to come into my house, they're definitely going to have to bind me first before they can have their way at my house. So the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, lives inside of you. And greater is He that's in you. And the only way Satan can be greater is to first bind the strong man. Now obviously God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to unsave you. But we can limit Him. We can tie His hands by quenching the Spirit. So we see here, it is whatever we allow. We're going to allow God to be the greater in us, or we're going to allow Satan to be the greater in us in this world. It depends on who we're listening to, who we're obeying. If we obey the flesh more than the Spirit, Satan's going to be the greater. If we obey the world more than we do heavenly things, Satan will be the greater. If we definitely obey the devil more than we do God, Satan will be the greater. Which is greater? God's Spirit or the Spirit of Antichrist? It's up to us. It's kind of like we see here that God has to be bound. In other words, let's just give some examples here. There's a bar that I can go to, or there's church. We know which one the Holy Spirit would tell us to go to. We know which one the Antichrist Spirit would tell us to go to. So if we go to the bar, that's limiting God. He's bound. His hands are tied. I can't bless you over there. Now we go to the church. Satan. We tell him to get thee hence. Get out of here. And he's there. If we're listening to the flesh, Satan's in charge. If we're listening to the Spirit, God's in charge. If we're listening to the unholy, Satan's in charge. If we're listening to the holy, God's in charge. If we're listening to the wrong, Satan's in charge. If we're listening to the right, God's in charge. If we're listening to the bad, we're the good. It's all up to us. Which is greater? We have two spirits that's coming after us. The Spirit of Antichrist and the Spirit of God. Which is greater in you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Lord, I just ask You to help us to realize, Lord, just like we said at the beginning, it's kind of a shock. Maybe even some news we would rather not hear. But the Christian life is going to be a battle. But obviously the good news is, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But that strong man can be bound if we allow it. So Lord, I just ask You to help us to desire to listen to the Holy Spirit, reject that spirit of Antichrist, and live the way You'd have us to. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek's going to lead us the invitation. If you'd like to come pray, altar is open.